Welcome to the Two Girls with Grief Book Club. We might laugh or we might cry, but we always read.
This is the book club where we make ourselves cry, but sometimes we also read books that might make us laugh, that are fun, so stay tuned for our next take.
Yeah, so we're at the end of the book. It was a short stint. We only had 5 chapters. I feel like it sums it up. It sums it up, and we leave Michelle's memoir in a good place. I think, overall, what are your thoughts?
It was a roller coaster. I feel like after the last chapters, the big chunk chapters, this was very, very fun. Like, it was in the sense of just like I didn't cry. It was I related to things, but it wasn't like gut wrenching and bringing me back into these like really deep moments. Like, yeah. The last chapters were, like, the bulk of the book was. So these were kind of, it was, like, wrapping it up nicely, which I feel like doesn't usually happen in a memoir type style.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I like the book, but yeah, definitely wasn't expecting it to make me feel all the things that I feel.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I think she is leaving us as much as she possibly can with a happy ending. Obviously, something she still continues with, but I love that she includes the places where she sees her mom and things, and we'll kind of dive into how she sees her mom in her dreams, and she's seeing her in just different places, and how her mom's I guess is still resonating after she's gone, and she still feels that love from her mom after her loss. So I think that's such a beautiful perspective of it. You can tell she's done her work on trying to heal from this. But yeah, I think it's a very beautiful kind of optimistic as you can considering the situation.
Yeah, I remember the chapters where we're going through chapters 16 through 20, and it opens up with basically her dad getting into a car accident, and she doesn't say it outright, but basically you get that the idea that the dad had basically got a DUI but didn't, because they just told the cop that the mom just passed away, and the cop let go and they didn't actually test him, but she just kind of alluded to that he was driving drunk and maybe he had wanted to for it to end up badly because he wasn't handling her mom passing away. And the thing that she mentioned during that was that her dad, he was injured from the accident and he had to have all these different medications. And she mentioned that it was a lot of similar medications that her mom had. And she just was checking him every so often, but she just wasn't in a place to caretake for him. Being a little bit of anger because he did it himself, it was his choice. And that's always a dangerous thing to do anyway. But that also she didn't have her in her to caretake anymore, which I feel very relatable after caretaking for so many people. Just don't know that I could enter another situation to do that again.
Yeah. And I particularly related with, same thing with the anger that she had towards her dad, but kind of in the fact that he was being reckless. And I don't know if you feel this way, but for especially my siblings, I now stress to them, it is your responsibility now to be in charge of yourself and you keep yourself healthy and keep yourself out of trouble, because if you put yourself in a situation causes me more grief than the grief we're already in, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be so mad because we've already been through so much. And why would you impose that heartbreak on me again? And so I kind of feel a little bit this selfishness of wanting the people that I love around me to take care of themselves and keep themselves alive, because same thing, I can't go through this again. I'm it is your earnest for me,
I mean, I guess because I already have lost more people,
yeah,
that I don't think about it that way.
Probably because you're more mature in your grief and I'm still still working through my...
I mean, I don't have much left, so but yeah, I think it's one of those things that's happened already. I've experienced it. Obviously, I don't want to lose anybody else.
Yeah.
But I think because I feel like my worst nightmare of things that could happen have happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I might have mental capacity to even think about.
Yeah.
So thankfully, it's not something that I do. I'm sure that's something that people that have lost as many people as me might. I feel like it's a very easy way, like, to hyper-focus on something.
Right, yeah.
I could definitely connect those dots, but thankfully that is not something I've picked up. But also, I feel like it's done, like, the worst of the worst things. So, yeah, shouldn't. let's not do anything else, world. Let's not do anything else.
We'll just pump the brakes.
Yeah, but I did find it interesting because she did go to something that was nice that she went for her honeymoon. She went to Korea and she went to all of the places that her mom wanted to take her one last time. I thought that was really nice. I always think about it in the sense of, hey, I'm Filipino, I'm Filipino American. And without my parents, I'm like, do I go back to the Philippines? It's a totally different experience going back without having parents that grew up there and know the language and just kind of the disconnect.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting to read that she did go back. She also doesn't really understand Korean. And she went back and she traveled and got to go to the night markets and experience the things her mom wanted her to. So it's something that I think about, but I don't know how I feel about it personally going back there without my parents. I definitely think that will be something that feels really sad. I don't know your thoughts on that trip.
Yeah, I loved how she is so transparent about the relationship with her aunt, and she's very vulnerable with herself and being like, I wish I learned Korean, like my mom was right. I shouldn't have been such a brat trying to get out of my Korean classes. Because I think like she's now understanding how full circle this is, and she was able to communicate with her aunt in Korea. She would have probably more in-depth and heartfelt conversations about, you know, her mom and for her aunt, her sister. But I think even with Michelle describing the experience, it sounds like the love that they have for each other transcended the language barrier. And I love that the line where they're translating to each other and she's like, I don't want to be a burden, I don't want to impose on you. And her aunt is like, blood ties. And I think it just like as simple as that is like, you're my niece, like you're always welcome here. And that like they hold hands while they were eating the soup that shared in both North Korea and South Korea. And I thought that was like such a beautiful kind of representation of not only did she lose her mom, but her aunt has lost both her sisters now. And so like it probably meant so much to her that Michelle went and visited and stayed with her. So I like that she included this other perspective of her aunt in the story.
Yeah, it's obviously something about my family in the Philippines that I do know that I'm like, will I ever go see them again? I'm not sure. But it was interesting and how she was able to do that. I saw also parallels of like her not learning the language and going to school. It's very common for Filipinos to not be taught the language for whatever reason. Like all the Asians, I feel like Filipinos are one of them that don't. Could be, you know, the hundreds of years of colonization that affected that decision. But I feel like it is very common for people I know. Like Filipinos in particular, not that it doesn't affect other Asians or other people, but so I related to that. Something that I really also related to her was her hyper-focusing on just making Korean food and kind of connecting to her mom. That's also something that I really connected to as well, because something that I'm still trying to learn how to make food, that like learning what my mom's favorite foods were and making them. And I just like wish I knew more of her food. So I really related to that part as well of just trying to feel connected in some way and through the culture. It's something that I'm still trying to learn. And like there's always new recipes and stuff. And I'm trying to find recipes for my mom's friends and, you know, well, she doesn't have any more siblings, but you know, spreads or anyone that knew her, if they knew her favorite foods. And it's been fun to learn. So I definitely related to a lot in Michelle's story.
Yeah, I think I like when she mentioned, you know, before when I would eat kimchi, I might have left a little on my plate and now I eat all of it because I know how hard it is or how long it takes to make kimchi. And I think that's like such a interesting example to apply to life, in that when you're younger, you kind of just was like, whatever. But as you get older, these moments that you've kind of lived through are more meaningful. And you kind of see that with her mom, of like all these, you know, she finds the pictures in the kimchi bottles and kimchi jars. And you see her have a whole new like perspective of her mom that she didn't have before, both like with her mom behind the camera lens and how her mom saw her, as well as like what her mom looked like when she was younger. I really loved that. I love that she found all these pictures. Were they in the kimchi jars?
It was in a kimchi maker, like fridge, okay. But I think it was in like the paste that she used to make kimchi. So okay. I think it was like in jars. Yeah, I'm really fascinated, like seeing photos of like my parents when they were younger and kind of seeing how they lived life and everything. I think that's really cool to see just, I know, them as just like adults without children and how they live their life. To me, that's always cool. And I know, I think I'm jumping some chapters, but I know at one point her aunt told her that her mom liked Expand, I think. And just something with coffee in the name, and that her mom and her aunt used to dress up and sing it and perform it when they were kids. And I thought that was nice. It's like something she learned about her mom. And I think even it's something that her mom didn't disclose to her, it was something like that connected them because she is a performer and sings. So yeah, I think it's always cool to kind of learn about them before, especially because my dad had depression. I like to see old photos of him when he looked happy and traveling. It was to me always special. I like wish I knew that guy.
Yeah.
Because he had like my dad did always have the best advice, even if I don't think he took his own advice, but like he had the best advice. And I think part of it was like from the life he lived before he got really depressed and, you know, traveled a lot and stuff. So that was cool. And one thing, I don't know if we talked about her mom having, or she kept having dreams of her mom.
Yeah.
And her mentioning that they were super traumatic. And seeing her mom like in different scenarios where her mom was still sick and she'd find her. And I know that I don't know if you've ever had dreams of your dad like that.
Yeah, I do.
And it's always weird. And I always wonder what it means when I have dreams, especially like specifically my sister, if she's healthy or if it was like after her coma or like what she looks like. I always wonder what that means. And it was interesting that like her dreams were all of her mom sick. Have you had experiences of that with your dad?
Yeah. You know, I always hope that I get the good dreams of him younger and healthier and kind of in his prime. But I seem to have, I think it's my brain trying to comprehend the traumatic experience of seeing my dad in his ill state. And, you know, like you and I have talked about, like maybe the funeral process isn't the best for everybody in their healing. Seeing him in the casket is something that sticks with me in my dreams. And it's a very saddening feeling. It's very like, sometimes it's a jump scare. Sometimes you're shocked in your dream because like, you're like, oh my God, my dad's dead. Like what happened? Or sometimes it's like, I know already. And I just have a feeling of like shame or let down that I didn't do my job well enough, you know? So it just drudges up all these feelings again, when you have these like flashbacks of these people when they're not in their best health.
I mean, I don't know if I've watched too many scary movies, but even just like the feeling of walking up to a casket makes me feel like someone's going to sit up. Like, it's like, it just like feel like something scary is going to happen. But in reality, the scary thing is just seeing your loved one in there and no longer here, no longer able to talk to you. So that's really the jump scare. The actual reality of it. But yeah, I relate so much to those dreams, but I was just curious like of how hers were so always so traumatic. But I have had those dreams where it's like even in the dream you realize like, oh, she's gone, or oh, they're gone. You know, having that, it's a very weird place to be in your dreams where something just like, or you realize, or you feel like you wake up and they're they're still here. Like, there's very weird, like, there's a very weird connection of dreams and reality. And I don't know I'll ever understand it, because that was always, it's such a weird thing, but it's interesting when other people had kind of similar experiences. And she was wondering in the book, like, is this my mom visiting me? Like, what does this mean? What is she trying to tell me? But I did like how she connected seeing those photos of her mom. I think it was what made her think about it, was I need to stop hyper-focusing on my mom being, like, sick. Mm. Remember her as also, like, healthy.
Yeah.
I'm curious of, like, if that worked. If, like, challenging, you know,
Michelle,
like,
please email us. Let us know if it worked.
Because I think it's one thing to, like, to feel that or want that. And another thing for it to actually possible. Like, I don't know. Thankfully, I don't have, like, even when my sister, like, I see her and she's kind of, like, post-coma instead of, like, before she got sick at all, she's still always not coming off as sick. That makes sense. Like, she still seems fine. So I think that's good. I mean, hers did, Jim's did sound very traumatic from like reading through it. And but I was surprised after all of that, after how many tears I shed during like the middle portion of the book.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, her at the end, her song picked up. She's able to quit her corporate job. Her essay got like posted in like the New York Times or something. Like, she won some essay thing, which I think led to her writing her book. And then she got so popular, she's able to do a tour and make money from it. And her husband was able to join the tour, and she's doing well, like, with her music and her dream. And she said that she thinks it's her mom sending her good things. And I was like, that's so nice. And I'm like, where's my family? Like, sending, how do I get all of my RV family members to send that to me as well? But I don't know why, I guess, because it was so sad. I wasn't expecting it to end so happy, even though, like, I'm happy and being happy and her life is doing as best as possible. I mean, as we know, like, grief doesn't just go away. It's not like she's just where her mom passed away, just because her life is turning around in a lot of ways. But yeah, it is interesting. I was kind of like, oh, this is such a happy note after I like was bawling in the middle of her chapters.
Yeah.
And just like thinking of like really tough situations. But I was surprised, pleasantly surprised. I'm happy for her, because there were some things that even were more traumatic, I think, for her situation.
Yeah. And I think like it goes into what we talked about one episode about kind of like those coexisting feelings, and I don't think she emphasizes it enough, like the grief that exists during these happy times. I think she's kind of illustrating like, I've gone through so much trauma with my mom, but now as I'm grieving and going through all her stuff, and I love when she's like selling her family house and she's like, I hope my mom haunts the house of whoever lives here next. And I was just like, I had this same feeling when I was selling our house. I was like, I hope it's haunted. I hope whoever moves in next has a haunted house.
It is a really weird thing. Something we didn't mention was like selling your house with your family lived, and then also like going through their stuff is also really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard to decide what to keep, what not to keep. I'm trying to like slowly still get rid of stuff. Like, I try to think of my mom, because my mom would be just like, get rid of it. But it is different, because I know my mom was the type of like, just get rid of stuff, like clear out. I remember when my sisters passed away, my mom was like, oh, keep her phone, you can keep it forever. Which is like totally opposite of kind of her mentality. So I think she'd have a hard time with this still. With like getting rid of people's stuff. So yeah, that's hard, especially going through like two parents and a sister's stuff is hard. But
yeah, you must have a lot of things collected up.
I do have a good amount of things. I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna have space for everything. But it's interesting, and I'm also like, I kind of want like a part two, of like where she is now, because you did bring up a good point. If she didn't mention kind of like happiness of where her life is going, how does that feel with grief? Because I think that's also a big portion of grief is happy moments feel different. A lot of things just feel different once you've experienced grief. So I do wonder, like, now that she's kind of reaching these pinnacles of success and hitting, you know, reaching all her dreams, like, how does it feel that her mom, not that she owes us that information, but I am interested because you feel like that's something where it's like, when you reach something, you're like, oh, that's really hard. When you're like, I wish they were here. You can give me advice. But I think it is nice for a book to, or at least even for just for people to read a story about grief and know that good things can still come to your life. I think that's a good takeaway from the book, is like, your life doesn't need to end, even if it feels like it might. When something so hard happens, that good things can still happen and you can still attract good things. So I think that was a good message.
And it's almost like she goes through this horrific experience with her mom, and then she's kind of in that immediate like phase of when you're just like, everything's a blur. But then she gets like the pizza job, and that's almost like the low point of like, okay, I'm grieving my mom, I'm having to go through all this stuff, like, I don't know how to comprehend all these emotions. And then like, you're in the part where, like, you know, her and her husband are going to New York, and she's like, we have to get corporate jobs now because our dreams didn't come true. And I'm sure like so many people out there feel that way when it's like, but then she becomes a rock star. So
yeah. And then it's like, out.
Obviously we don't know that timeline because she was living it, but it's kind of like, when are everybody, who knows where they are in that cycle? Like, are you at the very low point where you're working at the pizza place, or are you like in that moment of rock stardom, hypothetically?
And I do, she said that she was working at the pizza store to just keep busy and not think about anything.
Yeah.
But I definitely relate to that because I worked at a juice shop after my sister passed away because I just needed to not sit with the sadness.
Yeah.
Not just sit with like everything that's going on, because everyone was just going back to everything as normal. And I was just that. I was just like, this, everything sucks. Like,
yeah.
And so I definitely relate to that. Like, you do a job that just keeps you busy and you don't have to think about certain stuff. Not that a job like that isn't hard. And I felt like those jobs can be very tough and demanding, but you know, a lot of it is repetitive. So I think that's where it was just like good for her to like just keep busy and not think about it. I do find it very interesting to just to read people's grief stories. Usually it's been through fictional, but it is interesting, like a real life one. I'm sure they exist, but at least I haven't read fictional ones that go like this dark in places. I feel like you really have to experience it to be able to go this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I overall definitely get what people recommended the book. I just, for some reason, expected to be happier. And I don't know why I expected that. I don't know why that was my expectation whatsoever. It was a memoir about grief. But for some reason, I did expect it to not hit me so much.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's also a book that if you haven't gone through such an experience, it's not going to hit you that hard. Like, it's almost like reading or watching a movie with death, you know, or it's like, it's not going to tug those personal strings. But I think for people who've gone through death and grief, it like whips you upside the head. It's like you're going through every emotion again.
Yeah. I mean, I still think about this scene with her when her dressing her mom.
Yeah.
After he passed away.
Clearly she did too, because she even brought up like her eyes popping open was traumatic for her.
She said she was wailing in that part. I would give up. I wouldn't be able to do that after if that happened.
Right. I'm like, I've done the best I can.
I'm only a girl. I'm just a girl. Just trying to live my life. That would gut me. Like, I wouldn't be able to do that. But I think with grief, you feel so alone and isolated. Like, this is the only thing happening to me, and it weird when you were like, oh, so many things happened to her that happened to me. So yeah. I guess I'm not special.
Well, and I'm happy to hear that you related a lot more to other parts of the book that I don't think I ever could have related to. Like we talked in the last episode, so much of her cultural upbringing and her being half Korean adds so much context and color to her experience. And I love when she had brought up, she goes to the Korean spa, like the way she did with her mom, and talks about the experience of being younger. She didn't feel American enough, and that was all she wanted, was just to feel less, you know, out of sorts. And then she's in this Korean spa, and she was wanting this approval from the, I guess, an esthetician. She's asking her, oh, are you Korean? And Michelle can tell, like, she's trying to, like, guess how Korean.
Yeah.
She's now having a very reverse feeling of, am I Korean enough without my mom being around? Or, you know, how, where do I stand in all this now?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely relate to that feeling of just going into Filipino spaces, especially going back to the Philippines, but there's so many different things where I'm like, it just feels weird because I don't have that gateway, like that step into Filipino things.
Yeah.
And especially in the country, it's just, I have traveled like inside the country alone. I have traveled there alone, but like meeting family, but it's definitely weird knowing like I don't have my mom to call or, you know, my dad if I need thing or have a question or have an emergency. So it's definitely weird. You do feel like, obviously, I already feel like an orphan, but you feel like almost like an orphan to your culture, which is why I relate to a lot of things of her trying to like learn how to make foods and connect that way, because you're just trying to like find things that make you feel connected to the culture you grew up with. But yeah, it is hard because I didn't like cooking until I probably got older. So I didn't really cook that much with my mom, you know, so I didn't like learn a lot of recipes. So I'm learning recipes from like websites, and I think she even is like watching a YouTube channel.
She has the food influencer that she likes to watch.
Yeah, and so like I learn from watching, you know, whether it's YouTube or just looking up recipes. So this, I definitely relate to a lot of things that she was doing to kind of reconnect and learn in whatever way possible.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah. Well, that's the book, and I hope y'all who are reading along enjoyed it.
Yeah, I hope that if you're experiencing grief and reading this, that, I don't know what I hope. I hope that
it maybe helps more than harms. But
yeah, then maybe you didn't cry as much as I did going through it. But I am interested if you are like Korean or just kind of have some experiences, if you felt the same connection to the book as well. But yeah, the next pick, we're going to announce September 23rd. We're taking a week off in between, and we're going to announce our next book. Spoiler alert, it will be a little bit happier because I'm choosing it.
And Kendall's picks, from picking sad books.
Kendall's picks might always be a little bit sadder than mine. Just letting everybody know. That's just kind of in the pattern, and from discussing books that we just even read in our free time. Hers just my shocker. So
cast your votes in the comments now. Are you a happy book or a sad book person?
Yeah. So I lean towards like some happiness in there, which mine will be. I think I already have it picked out, so, but I won't mention it just yet. But mine is definitely a lot happier. Kendall's pick.
Which is good because we need some lightness after reading.
And fiction, and it'll go back to fictional grief, which I feel like is my safety domain of reading about grief. So
love that. We love a little escapism.
Yes. So again, as always, follow us on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Two Girls with Grief Pod. Email us at twogirlswithgrief@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. We love all the messages and things people send. We appreciate it. And yes, please join us for this book club. It's been actually very therapeutic for me personally.
Yeah, good.
Even though I definitely cry a lot. It was therapeutic. Definitely like dissected so many experiences I had in weird ways that it made me think about things. But yeah,
I don't know how to describe that to people who haven't gone through it, because the way she does describe her grief is very I think, relatable to people who are grieving.
And I feel like I have blacked out, forgotten pieces, and that definitely brought me back. I was like, oh no, that happened, and that was traumatic. And thank you for reminding me.
Thank you, Michelle. We appreciate it.
Yeah, so check back on September 23rd. We'll be back with our next series. We read this one pretty fast. It's a pretty short read, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, last week, if you watched last week's episode. Yeah, I don't know if I even cried just going over it again. It was hard. It was a tough.
We decided to do all the heavy stuff in one episode. Like,
yeah, I was out. Like going through these chapters. I was like, that's it. I'm not bawling. I'm okay.
Wait, things are getting better?
I was like, what? There's a happy ending? What's going on? I was so confused after reading those other chapters. It's like, you didn't just take me through an emotional roller coaster where I am hugging my dog for safety and reassurance.
I do want to look in through her discography and listen to her music and see how her grief is manifesting through music.
Yeah, I don't know. The one song that I know sounds very upbeat, but I haven't listened to the lyrics. And sometimes that gets sometimes an upbeat song is actually very sad.
Yeah.
Lyrically. So I don't know for sure, but the song that I do know of hers, which I don't even know the name, is that sounds happy to me,
and
at least.
Did you look at pictures of her by chance?
Yes.
She's cute. I was like, this girl's so cute. She's quirky and she's cute, and I love her.
She looks like a rock star.
She does, definitely. I was like, I love the vibe that she was giving off.
I feel like it wasn't the vibe from just her name. For some reason, her name, well, it sounds very white.
Yeah.
It is. And so I think going into it, that wasn't what I pictured. And it was good. I think I looked her up fairly early on reading. Okay. So I was able to change my original thought to what she looked like. Because, yeah, I mean, when you're half Asian, I feel like it can go either way. But I feel like I have Korean friends. In my experience, Korean genes are really strong. I feel like a lot of times if you're half Asian, sometimes you could look. You just never know how it's going to turn out. But I feel like Korean genes are extremely strong.
And shout out again to our 75%ers out there, because we need more recognition out there for Miss Rachel over here.
Have you ever watched John and Kate Plus 8? I'm pretty sure he's Korean.
My God, man, they were in the media for ever for a while, and I totally forgot they existed.
And their kids
are.
I don't know how they're doing, but their kids are only 25% Asian.
Oh, we should do a whole episode on them.
Yeah,
and what happened to Johnny K plus 8?
But their kids, to me, if I just saw them, I would think oh, they're half Asian. But because I think the dad was. They might even be less than that. I think the dad was half, maybe.
Oh, I didn't know. I just knew.
The dad might even be half because he looks like he's mixed. So that means his kids are even less.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can
think of. If you are one of the eight, please
let us know.
Please answer our question.
No, just kidding. That was another example, a public example of what I mean by I think Korean genes are really strong. Strong people.
Strong people.
Good. Strong people, good food.
Review of the book.
Trying to get smart, strong people and good food. I mean, there's so much reading her book and just the food alone. I'm like, oh my God, I want.
The food alone was a character. The food alone was a paid actor. The food alone stole the show.
I was getting hungry. Reading that at night was not a good idea. I'm like, I just want.
No, she's talking about making kimchi, and I'm like, damn, I don't have any kimchi on me right now. What a shame.
No, I definitely don't. But yeah, I mean, Korean food's really good. There's a Korean place near me, so should definitely
show.
Yes. If you don't know, spoiler alert, we haven't actually met in person. So
we've never met in person.
Those watching this episode, you get the tea. We actually haven't met in person.
No, we're not in the same space.
Yeah. And Kendall's actually coming to San Francisco, so we will be meeting
person. So excited.
And we're going to get Korean food.
And we're going to get Korean food?
Yes.
And yeah, it's gonna, and we're gonna talk about grief.
We should learn how.
We should have a travel vlog.
Yeah,
grief and traveling.
Grief and travel. That's our next series.
Yeah.
That'll just be a fun series.
You know, there's something to it. She was doing it. She was traveling. Like, I think that was her advice as well.
Yeah.
She went to Vietnam. She went to Korea. She went back to Korea. Yeah.
I actually do feel very at peace traveling. So, it's our next idea. Copyright. Touch it.
Do you want to take our idea?
We know. We're watching you. All right. Well, I think we have shared enough about this book and our thoughts. Yes, September 23. Catch us for the next book. It will be lighter because it is my pick. And yes, thank you for everyone for watching these episodes.
Yeah, thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Bye.